Turn with me, if you will, to John's Gospel, the 21st chapter. John, chapter 21, and the 12th verse. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee today for Thy Word, and as we come to the Word of God, we pray that each and every one of us would be receptive of the Holy Spirit's ministry this morning. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Word of God might speak to our hearts as to what Thou would have us to do. And Father, if there be one here who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ and have never before trusted Him for salvation, we pray that before this time is over, their eyes will be opened by the Spirit of God to realize that Christ died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and by receiving Him, they might have life everlasting. And we just give Thee thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now the scene here is on the shore of the seaside, and the Lord Jesus, in one of His resurrection appearances, has appeared unto the disciples. And they recognized Him up upon the bank there of the shore. They had been out fishing and had a fruitless night. And the Lord directed them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And they did, and they took in the miraculous draught of fish. And so the Lord, when they had come to land, they saw that the Lord had already prepared a meal there for them of fish and laid it on the coals of fish and bread. And so Simon Peter and them, they went up and they drug the net out. And then the Lord Jesus bids them in verse 12 to come and dine. And it's told us by John that this is the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after He was risen from the dead. But what we want to look at is primarily this dialogue that the Lord Jesus has with Simon Peter, beginning at verse 15. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he asked him this question three times. Now, I think it's especially significant that he did ask him this three times, because you remember that the night that the Lord Jesus was arrested and was about to be taken to be tried and then crucified, that the Lord had told Simon Peter, Simon, you'll deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter had told him, impetuous as he was and quick-spoken, he had told him, No, Lord, all these others might deny you, but I'd even die for you. And the Lord Jesus told him, Before the cock crows tonight, three times you'll deny me. And he did so, just as the Lord had said. And so here, after the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's here on the bank, he poses these three questions to Peter. Lovest thou me more than these, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonah? Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he says, Feed my lambs, and he commissions him. And I wonder, as the Lord asked him, I believe he was speaking of the disciples around. He wasn't speaking about the boats or the fishing experience and asking Peter if he loved the Lord more than these. But he was speaking of the other disciples around there, because you remember what Peter had said so brashly there, Lord, the others might deny you, but not me. I'd even die for you. And so here, the Lord asking, do you love me more than these other disciples do? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Now, what if we were questioned to the same thing? What if the Lord were to pose the question to us, or to me even, Larry, do you love me? And if so, how much do you love me? And I think that's a valid question to ask each and every one of us. Do we love the Lord? Now, before you answer that, we're going to look into Scripture and see just what it entails. So before you answer an unqualifying yes or no or however the case may be, we want to look and see what that love really entails. You see, most of us who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior would readily answer, oh, yes, we love the Lord. There's no doubt about it. But we want to look and see what's involved in that type of love. But you notice this question that he poses to him. Now, the interesting thing is drawn from the Greek here, from the different words that the Lord Jesus uses and the words that Peter uses. You see, the Greek is a much more explicit language than we have, and so if they wanted to say love, they could say it in a variety of ways. They could speak of agape, which was a deep, sacrificial type of love, that love of God that's displayed at Calvary, where God gave His Son, that love that is produced as a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Or they could speak of philia type of love, which is the same root that we get the word Philadelphia from. What is Philadelphia? It's the city of brotherly love. And that comes from the Greek root of the word philia or philio, which meant that type of affection that one would have for a friend. So you see what the Lord Jesus says here, Simon, agapeo me? Do you love me with that deep type of sacrificial love that I loved you when I gave myself on the cross for you? And Simon Peter could only answer, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. I love thee as a friend with that type of love. And so he poses the same thing to him again in the second question. Simon, son of Jonah, agapeo me? Do you love me with that deep type of love, that love that comes from a will that the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross willingly and submit himself? And Simon could only answer, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee, love thee with that brotherly type of affectionate, emotional type of love that doesn't come close to the agape type of love. And so the third time he saith unto him, and you notice when he said it the third time, Peter was grieved. Now the reason, I believe, one of the reasons he was grieved, not only because the Lord had repeatedly asked him, but because the Lord changed his word then and said, Simon, son of Jonah, phileo thee, me, thou me. You see, then he condescended down to Peter's level and said, Simon, do you even love me with that brotherly type of love, that affectionate type of love? Simon, phileo thou me. And Peter could only answer and said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I believe that there's an important thing here. The Lord Jesus was establishing something. He was about to ascend back into glory. And he's committing unto Peter and unto the other disciples the commission to feed his sheep. They've already had one night of fruitless, Christless service when they caught no fish. But as soon as the Master came and directed them to where to cast their net, immediately there was fruitful service. And it's the same way with us in service for the Lord. We're fishers of men. We go out to spread the gospel. But if it's not Christ-directed service, it's empty. It's meaningless. And we catch no fish. We win no souls for the Lord Jesus. But Christ-directed service. And here, he's telling Peter, I believe, Peter, even if you can't feel that you love for me, you don't base your ministry upon that. You base it on the fact that you have been committed to do what I told you to do. In other words, you don't just base it on your emotions. You base it on the fact that I've commissioned you, that I've enabled you, that I give you the power to do it, and that I've told you to do it. Feed my sheep, no matter how you feel, you see, about it. And you may not feel like you're worthy of service. You may not feel like you're able for service, but the Lord Jesus says to do it, you see. feed my sheep, tend my sheep, and tend my lambs. But the question that he asked him, I want to dwell on. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And that's the question I think we ought to ask ourselves today. If the Lord Jesus asked you, do you love me? What would you be able to answer, and would you be able to answer it honestly? Well, let's look at something, because I believe that love ought to be manifested first, Godward. If it's manifested anywhere, if we have that love of the Lord Jesus in us and for Him, first of all, it's going to be manifested Godward into Him. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Those are pretty strong terms there that the Lord Jesus says of those who aren't worthy of Him. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our love in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ and of the love we have for our family, for our loved ones. You see, when it comes to service for Him, your love, Godward, to the Lord Jesus Christ has to be of such that you're willing to do whatever He would have you to do in a complete committal unto Him, and in perfect trust and in faith and obedience unto Him, and you express that love to Him by where you say, Lord, I'm yours, do what you would have, I love you, I want your will, and it's not always easy. You see, just before this, the Lord had said that He came not to send peace, but He came to send a sword. And He had come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Now think about that. Service for the Lord Jesus Christ in supreme love for Him often costs you. It's often very costly as far as your family and your loved ones come. You see, nothing should take the place of the love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know it's very easy. I have a little son, and it's very easy to say how much I love that son. And it's very easy for me to wrap myself up in Him. But the love of the Lord should come first. You see, that's to be first. Because if I'm properly loving the Lord Jesus Christ, rightly related to Him, all the other relationships are going to take care of themselves. And I'm not going to be able to love the Lord Jesus and not love my child in the true way that He would have me to do. It's the same way with my wife. I love my wife. But if I'm not loving the Lord as I'm supposed to be and doing those things that show that I do love the Lord, then I'm not going to be loving my wife. You see, the most supreme type of love that you can have for a wife or for your children or anything is when you come to love the Lord and place Him first in your life. Then after that, all your other relationships will be what they're supposed to be. How is a husband supposed to love his wife? Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You see? And there's the measure of our love for a wife. And because Christ loved us, we are to love others. But our love to Him, He says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Any object that takes the place of being first in your life, if it's not the Lord, and as far as your love is concerned, becomes an idol. It becomes an idol. What is an idol? It's something which takes the place of God. It's something of which you love more than you do God, you see. And you worship that thing more than you do the Lord. That's an idol. And so anything, whether it be money, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, the Lord is to come first. You say, that's hard. That's very hard terms, but that's the way the Bible puts it. And you'll find that when you begin to love the Lord first place in your life, give Him first place in your life and love Him in the way that you should, everything else is going to be a whole lot better. Your family relationships, your parental relationships, your working relationships, whatever it might be, give the Lord first place in your life. And so Godward, he that taketh not his cross, followeth after me, is not worthy of me. That cross. Now I believe that there's two ways to look at this. One way is to think of the cross and everything that it speaks of. The cross was an instrument of shame, humiliation. And the Lord Jesus said that they've hated me and they're going to hate you. And so to take the way of the cross is to take the way that the Lord Jesus took. But even more than that, the cross was an instrument of death. The cross was an instrument of death. And we are to live a crucified life while we're here in this earth. Paul said, I am crucified, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified to the world and the world to me. You see, we're to live that crucified life. And then, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I believe that has to do with service. To lose your life here on this earth, to lose everything that is entailed in your life here on this earth, you'll find what the Lord would have you to have, and you'll find those things that are beneficial for eternity. To lose this life here, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We're to lose our life here on this earth for Him, and to live the life that He would have us to do, and be willing to put all aside but for Him. So Godward, definitely. Now, if we're loving God, if we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're loving God like we should, it's going to be manifested manward. You see, you'll notice that in the Bible, that when your relationship with God is right, you can't help but be right with your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's just impossible to be rightly related to the Lord and loving Him as you should and be a Christian and not have the right type of relationships with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you don't have the right relationship with your brother and sister in the Lord, if there's something wrong there, there's something wrong with you in the Lord. So let's turn to 1 John, because 1 John is very plain and in no uncertain terms talks about love. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14. Now, you say you're saved. You say you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've trusted Him for salvation. Your sins are forgiven. You have passed from death unto life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Now, one thing I want to point out there. You'll find in John's Gospel that the word know is very prominent. It's a prominent word. It's one of the most prominent words in the book. We know. Do you know that you've passed from death unto life? Some people say you can't know. You'll never know until the great judgment day comes, and then you'll stand before God and He'll weigh your good deeds and your bad deeds, and if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then He'll let you into His kingdom. John says, right now, here on this earth, we know that we have passed from death unto life, and he goes on to describe how that is. Do you know that you passed from death unto life, is the question. Then, and look over in 1 John chapter 5 for a minute, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you passed from death unto life? The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Present tense, present possession, now, not future, not later, but now. Sure, it's later too, but eternal life begins now. You become a possessor of eternal life when you trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've passed from death unto life. Do you know that today? If you don't know it, I would question whether you've ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whether you've ever had the witness and assurance that the Spirit of God gives when He bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. Do you know that you've passed from death unto life? If not, you need to know. You need to trust Jesus Christ. Realize that He died. When He died on the cross, it was your sins that He bore. And that by believing in Him, realizing that He was raised from the dead on the third day, trusting in Him, you can have life everlasting. And so John says in 1 John chapter 3 again, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know, one thing I've noticed, and I haven't been a Christian that long, brothers and sisters in the Lord are something that are really precious. And the type of love that you have for your brothers and sisters in the Lord is a unique type of love that comes from that organic union in the body of Christ whereby we're actually parts of one another. You know, it was interesting listening to Mike Warnke. I know some of you have heard him, and he said that, summing up from the end of one of his tapes, he said, you know, that some of you might not like what I've said, and he went on to talk about that, and he said, but you Christians, you don't have to like me. He said, you got to love me. And he said, because you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. And it's the same way in Christianity. You choose your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. This is the family of God if you're born again, if you're trusting in Christ. And it's a unique type of relationship. And I find that Matthew chapter 10, those verses that we looked at, are very true. Oftentimes, when you become a Christian, you're set at variance with your own blood relatives, your father and your mother, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love which you have for your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord is so much different than that type of natural love is. And John says that we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. By this we perceive we the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, it's easy to stop at verse 14 and say, well, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And you say, well, I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Really? How much? Because verse 16 says, here's how we perceive the love of God. He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the type of love He's talking about. Supreme, sacrificial type of love. A love that looks for others' needs before it looks at your own. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. How's it manifested practically? Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his compassions or bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, that's the hard part. The first half of verse 18 is easy to love in word. It's easy to love in tongue. It's easy to say, I love you, Lord Jesus. It's easy to say, I love you, brother, sister in the Lord. It's easy to say it. But when it comes to not loving just in word and in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. You see, that's where the catch is there. That's where so many of us fall many times. Indeed, and in truth. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. As we often sing that song, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. When we cared nothing about it, before you were ever born, Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for your sins. Before you came into existence in this world, Jesus Christ bore every sin that you ever will commit or that you ever have committed on the cross of Calvary. And He shed His blood almost 2,000 years ago, and by that is expressed the love of God. This is how God manifested His love, that He sent His only begotten Son. Do you know the Lord Jesus today? Have you entered into the love of God? God is a God that loves you. God is not an impersonal blimp floating around someplace in eternity out there and out in space somewhere that can't be known. God made His love real. He manifested His love. He sent His Son to the cross. And He said, I love you in that act. And there is the greatest act of love that the world has ever seen. God sent His Son. God's Son hung on a cross willingly. And in doing so, He said, I love you, Larry Price. I love you this much. And if you trust in Him, you'll realize the love of God. The love of God is just something that is totally, it's mind-boggling to me that God could love me. Not only that God could love me, but that God knows me. That God knows what an unworthy creature I am, but that He loves me. Herein is the love of God manifested. He sent His only begotten Son. You notice that God's love is a love of action. Herein is God's love manifested. God sent. In that familiar verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's love is a love of action. God loved, God gave. You see, sacrificial type of love. And that's the love that is to characterize the Christian. Herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. Gave His Son, sent His Son to be the propitiation. And what does verse 11 say? How are we to measure up to that standard? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Now, look in verse 20 of chapter 4. If a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his... Now, that's God speaking. Now, if I were to get up here and call you a liar, some people might be offended by it. Or if I were to get up here and say this type of person was a liar, some people might be offended by it. But this is God speaking now in His Word. And He says, if a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begotteth loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Him that born you again, if you love Him, you're going to love those who are of the same seed. You see, who have been born again also. And the love of God manifested like this. Now, Christ said, lovest thou Me? The Word of God says that if we love God, if we're born of God, we're born in love, and God is love, and if we love God, that we're going to be manifesting it towards our brothers. If we're born again, we're going to love the brethren, and so it's going to be manifested manward. Now, in John chapter 14, we turn back to the Gospel of John. Not only is it going to be manifested manward, okay, and we've seen that. We've come this far now. We see that it says, first of all, the Lord Jesus posed the question to Peter, lovest thou Me? And we've seen that that love, first of all, is to be Godward. And we could dwell more on that, but we didn't. And we've seen that it's supposed to be manward. It's going to be manifested manward. Love our brethren. Okay, you've come that far. You've passed the test. You say, I love God. He has absolute first priority place in my life, above my wife, my job, my children, my car, my money, my house, my anything. God has first place in my life. And I love Him with a love that's unmeasurable toward the same type of love that I have for my family. Say, I passed that test. Okay, I love the brethren. I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're part of my body. They're part of my family. Whatever I can do for them, I will. I'll care for them. I'll pray for them. I'll visit them if they're sick. I'll just do whatever I can do for them because I love them. And I manifest that love in my action as God's love is manifested. And I'm concerned about them and care for them and want to keep them. And so you pass that test. And you say, I passed the first two. Now the Lord Jesus says, not only is it to be manifested Godward and manward, but in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice down in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You see, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my sayings. If you love me, you'll keep my words. Now I want to ask you a question. If love's manifested Godward, we can tell by that. If it's manifested manward, I believe it's also manifested by a love for the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. James says that if you're born again, that the new man in you delights in the law of God. The inward man in you delights, the new creation part of you delights in the Word of God. And so, here we have the Lord Jesus saying, you love me, you keep my commandments, all right? You love me, you keep my words. You love me, you keep my sayings. Well, how are you going to know his sayings, his commandments, and his words without the Word of God? You see what I mean? It's very axiomatic. It's very simple that you can know his sayings. You can't know his words. You can't know his commandments unless you get into the Word of God. So that love for the Lord Jesus, he's the one that said, lovest thou me, is going to be manifested by a love for the Word. If you're a Christian, you ought to love the Word of God. If you love it, that means you're reading it and you're studying it. You're meditating upon it regularly, not just 1 hour a week. How many hours in a week? 168, something like that? Close to that. I'd say about 168 hours in a week, somewhere roughly there. You think you're going to be able to manifest that love for the Word 1 hour out of 168? You think you're going to be able to manifest that love for the Lord Jesus 1 hour out of 168? You think you're going to be able to show that love towards your brethren 1 hour out of 168? You see, there's that whole week, 100-something hours in a week. And we come, we say, well, I come to church 1 hour a week, and that proves that I love God. I'm born again, you see. The Word is very much more explicit than that. A love for the Word of God. Let's turn back to 1 John again. 1 John, seems like John has aged a little bit, and he, after writing his gospel, boy, when he puts down some of this stuff in 1 John, he really lays it on the line. 1 John has been called the acid test of Christianity. And love is the acid test of Christianity. And so 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And by this we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. There's an obedient life. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. There he goes again. What a John. He doesn't mess around. I mean, he tells it just like he is. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You notice that statement there? That reminds me of something that the Lord Jesus said at one time about Judas and what characterized him. That Judas was a liar, thief, from the beginning. Truth wasn't in him, just like it wasn't in his father, Satan. He was a child of the devil. And here he's saying that if you don't know him and you keep not his commandments, you're a liar. The truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, matured, and made fully mature. By this we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. You see, he says if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Now, how are you going to know his commandments if you don't see what they are? Boy, sure, I mean, if you don't have the Word of God, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit could lead you into the keeping of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in America, there's absolutely no excuse for not reading the Word of God. Because if you can't read, they've got it on tape. And so, there is no excuse for not knowing the Word of God and reading it. Now, this is the Lord saying, and John saying, if you love me, and the Lord saying through John, you'll keep my commandments. That's an obedient life. How are you going to know what the commandments are and what the Lord has commanded and what all he has said, what his sayings are, what his words are, if you don't get into the Word of God and see what he has said? Because he said on the road to Emmaus in another of his resurrection appearances that all the Scriptures speak of me. You see, he opened all the Scriptures, Moses and the Psalms and all the writings of the prophets, and showed how they all spoke so richly of him. So it's not just the New Testament, but it's the Old. But I would suggest that if you're not reading the Word of God on a regular basis, see, God speaks to you through his Word. People were looking for lightning bolts and miraculous type of events to happen and God to speak to them in that way, but God speaks to us through his Word. We have the completed Word of God. And there's where the sayings of the Lord Jesus are. There's where his words are contained. And what he wants us to know is in here. I'd say 99% of the problems that people have as Christians are answered already for them if they get into the Word of God. And so, getting into the Word, and I suggest that if you've never done so, that you start in the New Testament, perhaps in the Gospel of John, and begin to read from there. And this is a good place to start. But a love for the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. They're not grievous. Because again, as James said, the new creation part of you delights in the law of God. Now your old part of you, if you're born again, your flesh hates the Word of God. And the flesh is very powerful. But that's not to make excuse for him, because John also tells us that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He's given us a spirit, and it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power, peace, love, of a sound mind. And so we have the Spirit of God, but we must nurture that new creation part of us on the Word. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, that you might grow by it. And so, now, there are a few more things that we want to take up later, but I want to turn back there again real quickly to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know love. I thought I knew love for 20-something years. I thought I knew what the world said love was and what love was all about. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never experienced real love. And that's the love of God. The love of God is so tremendous. Think about it. He died on the cross for you. Now, as a Christian, that love, Godward, do you love the Lord Jesus? Lovest thou me? Is it manifested in your life? By a love for him, by a love for his word, by a keeping of his commandments, by a love for the brethren. And this is a question that each of us ought to meditate upon and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we realize the high standard that the Word of God sets forth. And we realize that it is impossible for us to keep it outside of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And Father, it's impossible to keep thy standard in the flesh. But through the Spirit of God, through the new creation in us, if we're truly children of God, these things ought to be manifested in our life. And Father, we look at our own lives and realize how short we come of the perfection that we see in the Lord Jesus. Father, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with some right now about areas of their life that need adjusting to what the Word of God says, I pray that they would yield themselves totally unto His ministry right now. And if there be one here that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't know that tremendous love of our Savior, pray that right now, where they're sitting, they might realize that they have sinned. They've done wrong. They've come short of the glory of God. And Father, that Christ died for them, that He bore their sins, that He rose again, that believing right now they can receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we just commit this time unto Thee in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. If you have anything you want to talk about after the meeting, talk about whether salvation or anything else, I just encourage you to get with me, and I'll sit down with you with the Word, and we can go over some of these things. Thank you.